Welcome to our podcast for Raising Arizona Kids Magazine. I'm Vicki Bullitt. 8 years ago, Amanda Misseldine should have been winding up her senior year with prom, graduation, and all the festivities that come with finishing high school. Instead, she became gravely ill from a rare genetic disease. A liver transplant saved her life. Now she cares for patients and works to spread awareness about the gift of organ and tissue donation. We spoke to Amanda about what it's like to be a transplant recipient and how that inspired her to change her career path.
My name's Amanda. I am a nurse at Maricopa Integrated Health Systems. I work in the outpatient GI clinic, GI and liver clinic. Take care of a lot of patients with GI problems as well as severe liver disease. Post-transplant or they need a transplant, a lot of hepatitis C patients as well, and it's very rewarding, especially with my background. When I was 18 years old, I was very sick all of a sudden. It actually came on quite suddenly, and for about 6 months, I was just growing weaker and weaker, muscle aches. My skin was kind of acting up, and I just really wasn't myself. I didn't feel myself. And I couldn't put a finger on what really was going on. I was seeing a number of specialists. They were drawing tons of tests, lab tests. I was going 3 times a week to the lab. And I mean, they knew my name and where I wanted to go to college and everything because I was seeing them so many times. But the doctors could not figure out what was going on. Finally, April of 2005, I just pretty much took a turn for the worst. I became febrile. I had a 103.5 temperature for 2 days. I went into the doctor. I thought perhaps I had bronchitis because I was having some trouble breathing. I could feel some fluid in my lungs. And she sent me home saying that, you know, I probably didn't have bronchitis, but to come back in 2 days if I didn't have any improved symptoms. So, well, 2 days later, definitely not improved. In fact, I woke up with brown urine. So that was pretty scary as an 18-year-old. So I went into the hospital and they diagnosed me with liver failure. And actually from that point, I do not remember the rest. I don't remember for another month. But during that time, they figured out that I needed a liver transplant because I was in such severe liver failure. And at the same time, all my other organs were failing because when one organ fails, the others start to go as well. So over that weekend, they, you know, after numerous tests, said, you know what, she needs to have probably a liver transplant, so we're going to refer her to another hospital. And that's when I went to Banner Good Samaritan, which is where I had my transplant. And I was fortunate enough to actually get one. So now during that time, I was actually on the list, which, again, I was not awake for any of this, but this is what my family and my friends are enduring. They're waiting. I actually was only on the list for 7 days, which is extremely short. Most people wait years. It's based on need as far as getting a transplant, and I was that needy. I needed a liver transplant to live. As some of the nurses said, told my parents, she's at death's doorstep. And I mean, all of my organs were out. My brain was not functioning properly. My heart, my lungs, my kidneys, of course, my liver, my pancreas even. I mean, I was being kept alive by technology, for sure. That was all that was keeping me alive. And they kind of actually even froze me in time. They brought my body temperature down to 84 degrees Fahrenheit to preserve my cell function. And that was done for just several days. And that was prior to my transplant. And even right before I got my transplant, they weren't even sure that I was going to wake up because of how sick I was. But they all wanted to, you know, give me that chance of life because I was so young, because I had such a fighting spirit, and that they knew that, you know, they just had hope. And sure enough, through much prayer on many, many, many people's part, especially my parents and faith, I got my transplant, and it took me about 3 days to start even showing brain activity. My EEG, which people who know, that's, you put electrodes on your brain, you see the brain waves, that was flatlining for about 3 days. So to them, they thought, you know, I probably have severe brain damage, not really sure what's going to happen. It took that long for my new liver to really filter through all the medications I was on and, you know, just really get my body kind of up and going again. So I started showing brain activity 3 days later. From then, I had a number of battles still ahead of me. I had both my lungs collapsed twice. As I said before, my brain pressure was so increased. It was actually at about a number of 35. Normal is 0 to about 20, but 20 is when you like sneeze and there's just a pressure for a second. So that's a lot of pressure. So I was really at risk for herniating. In fact, my brain did bleed about 3 times.
You know, I think most people don't understand, or you know, you're a nurse. This is so complicated when you get a transplant. I think people think once the organ is located that the major part of it is over.
Absolutely not, no. And, you know, that in my case is pretty severe. I mean, obviously, you know, I was in the hospital for another 2 months after I got my transplant, like I'm telling you about all these things, and I didn't wake up. But even people that I've met through the various events that I've done that have had transplants that, you know, much less severe case, you know, they deal with problems for even years out, because the thing is, once you get a transplant, you're immunocompromised. We take medication to suppress our immune system so that our body doesn't realize that we have a foreign organ in our body. You know, we're not, when something foreign comes in, bacteria, whatever, our body is built to fight it off. Well, I have a giant organ in me that's not mine. It has a total different genotype, genes, everything. So I have to take medication to suppress that. And that causes problems. You know, you get sick, it's hard to fight stuff off.
Is it, especially being a nurse, I'm imagining, are you concerned about that?
You know, a lot of people have always raised that concern for me, all of my coworkers, which is so generous. But you know what? It's something I've never worried about. This is, being a nurse is my calling. I've felt that very strongly after I had my transplant. And ever since I chose to do it, I have never looked back. You know, I take care of myself. I eat extremely healthy. You know, I exercise. I wash my hands constantly. You know, I really do take, you know, extra care. So I'm definitely cautious, but I'm definitely not extra worried about disease and things like that.
Talk a little bit about what happened when you finally did recover enough to get out of the hospital. When did you decide you would like to become a nurse and work in this particular area?
Well, while I was in the hospital, after I woke up, of course, a lot of the nurses kept telling me, you know, you would be a great nurse. You've been through a lot. You would really have compassion. This would be great. You should really think about it. And I had a lot of time with them for them trying to convince me, and I just would not budge. I wanted to be an English teacher prior to my sickness, and I just did not want...
English majors.
Nice. I did not want to budge. I loved literature. I loved art. That's what I wanted to do, but it actually wasn't until my last days in the inpatient rehabilitation center, which is where I went to get... I had to work my muscles back because I actually lost all of my muscle mass completely during that time. I had to learn how to sit up, eat, do everything that we really take for granted. I lost literally all my muscle mass. So
when you lost all your muscle mass, what does that look like?
Flaccid, flabby, just
and
very
just
tiny,
work.
Very skinny, doesn't work. I was just laying in a bed and people had to do everything for me when I first woke up. I mean, turn me. I remember just laying on the side of the bed on my side, and I just felt so unstable. You know, that's something that we totally take, you know, you can lay on your side. I couldn't do that. And I mean, obviously, eventually with time and training, I could, and I learned how to do everything again. I learned how to walk. I learned how to eat. I learned how to do basic things.
And you must have learned to apply, how to apply to college.
Absolutely.
I guess you were getting, this happened after graduation?
Happened actually during. I missed my last month of high school.
Okay.
So during that summer is when I really recovered, and I did go to school that fall.
What a summer that was.
Yes. Yeah, it was a pretty crazy summer, but I recovered, and I mean, enough to go to school. You know, I definitely was not 100%, no way, that took years, but enough to go to school. But as for, you know, you said about when I chose to be a nurse, well, several days before being discharged to go home, I had a nurse, and he was fantastic, and he really just... Actually, I want to say the last night I was there, he just sat me down and just kind of almost lectured me and said, you have a job to do. You know, you need to care for these patients. You've been given a gift that you've gone through this. I know it's hard, but you can really relate to people. And whatever he said really resonated with me, and I just knew this is my calling, you know, this is what God wants me to do in this life. So, you know, I was very reluctant, as I said. I wanted my art. I wanted the literature, but so I did it, and it's been such a blessing to serve all the people that I've been able to take care of, and I still enjoy art on the side. You know, I love plays, I love reading, I love poetry. And I, even in college, I still took, you know, art class, or, you know, like philosophy and things like that, just because it was something I really loved. So I just took a lot of summer school.
When you talk about the whole, the God thing,
mm-hmm.
did you feel that way before you got sick and the transplant, or was this something that changed you? Because you are, because medical science mm-hmm. was in there too.
Right.
Was this...
So, you mean, did I have a lot of faith beforehand?
Yeah, or was this something that increased it or
right.
cemented it?
I get that question a lot, actually. You know what? Actually, no. It wasn't changed. I had a lot of faith as a child. I actually had Crohn's disease during my childhood, which I'm now...
That's a gastrointestinal.
It is. Very severe. I had to get IV infusions every 2 months. You know, I was in a lot of pain as an 11-year-old, which is, you know, you want to go outside and play hopscotch when you're 11. Or actually, I don't know about now. Maybe 11-year-olds probably don't like to do that. But when I was 11, that's what I wanted to do. And I was in a tremendous amount of pain. My parents raised me very faith-filled Catholic. You know, we didn't really talk about faith a lot, but we always went to church. And I just, you know, God reached out to me. And I knew that he was there. It wasn't a strong reach, but I knew that he was there during that difficult time because he was the only one I could cry out to. Who can help you when you're in pain? No one. You know, we try, but I mean, sure, medical science is great. Don't get me wrong. That's what I do for a living. So obviously I respect it, but there's something else there. You know, there's something else that has to guide that. And so I, through that, I completely trusted him in all things. And since you brought it up, he actually warned me that something was going to happen because I spent time with him on a regular basis. So I talked to him. He warned me that something, I was going to go through a struggle is what he said, which I still laugh at him. And I say, really, that's a struggle? Like near death? That's a struggle? To me, that's a lot more than a struggle, but obviously we have different priorities. So as I went through it, when I woke up, as I said, I was in the coma. As I woke up, I was always completely at peace. I never felt pain. There was just so much grace. Even a lot of the nurses can tell you that they said they were so struck by, I never got down on myself. There's a couple that saw, I had a few moments where I would get down and just, I would actually feel bad for myself. That's what it was. I would feel bad for my circumstances. You know, all my friends are enjoying their summer before college. Why the heck am I in a hospital bed? I can't even sit up. What? Why me? You know, and then I would only go through that for about 20 minutes per day. And then once that was over, I had my little pity party. I kind of just, all right, this is what's been given to me. And then I just really felt God with me. I felt my angels with me. And I actually knew where they were at certain times, like in my room. And that was at first very alarming because I was like, whoa, that's who, you know, who are you? But then after that,
So literally you felt like you saw angels?
I didn't see them as if I see you and I like a person that clearly, but it's kind of like when in your peripheral vision, when you know someone's sitting next to you, but you don't actually look at them, but you know that they're right there. That's how it was. So I knew where they were.
Do you think about the person that had the liver that you have now?
I do. I pray for them a lot.
What's that like?
I don't even know how to describe it because it's to be so thankful to someone
that you'll never meet.
Passed, they will never meet.
You'll never find out
no.
who they were.
No.
And why is it that you won't ever find out?
You know, I'm not sure why I won't find out. I have done the process you're supposed to do to find out who your donor family is.
Okay.
And
because would you like to
right,
talk to them?
Absolutely. I would love to thank that family. Oh my gosh. You know, I have everything to. My life has been so blessed. So I would love to thank them, but. I, for whatever reason, they have chosen to remain anonymous, and of course I will respect that. I mean, it's the least I can do, and that's their wishes. And I have talked to Donor Network, and that, you know, they said you're not going to ever find out, and that's all they can really say. Privacy is very important when it comes to organ donation. They are very respectful, very, you know, HIPAA and all those regulations. That, you know, if that's what the family says, that's what the family says. I'm not finding out anything. So, and that's fine. So, you know, all I can do is pray for them. I pray for their family. I pray for the person, for their soul in heaven. And I'm just so thankful. I mean, I carry this person with me always. So, you know, are they with me in another way? I don't know. But would it be cool? Yeah. You know, I don't know. I haven't had any weird, I know some people report that they, you know, have weird cravings or something that is abnormal for them. I never had any of that. I've always kind of just been me, but,
So what's ahead for you? What's your prognosis?
Well, as far as my health, everything's great. I have during college and afterwards, cause the thing is I got my transplant right before college. So being in college, you know, I didn't want to live any less just because I had what I had. I didn't want to, you know, I obviously want to be cautious, but I don't want to live this shelled up bubble life. And so my doctors can tell you that they got some really interesting calls as far as what I wanted. You know, is it okay if,
For example,
I got my nose pierced twice. I don't have it anymore, but that was, you know, needles and all of that, you know, and
that's
like,
a risk.
It's a risk, but you know, you make sure everything's, I just did a lot of extra background checking with the places that I got it done in, watched them, mm-hmm. you know, take out the needles. It was sterilized, things like that. You know,
anything else?
Traveling. I love traveling. I've hiked Machu Picchu, backpacked in Ecuador and Peru. Actually, my husband and I, we just got married last year. We went to Italy, Greece, and Turkey on a cruise. I also served on a mission trip in Haiti a couple years ago for 2 weeks.
And that's risky.
Yeah, absolutely. I got a lot of people that were pretty upset I was going. But just because they were, you know, concerned about my health. But, you know, when God calls you to something, you just got to trust. And there were actually a lot of people on that trip that got sick, and I did not. I did not get sick at all. No symptom, nothing. So, let's see. I actually worked in a hospital in London over one summer. So, and from there, traveled all around Europe as well. So, you know, working in a complete foreign country was pretty awesome.
This is interesting because you were a child with a Crohn's disease, mm-hmm. which is somewhat of a disabling
Absolutely.
Chronic condition.
Mm-hmm.
And it's almost as if the liver mm-hmm. transplant mm-hmm. changed your life in terms of being able to be more active and be out there.
Yep.
Because do you think if you were still battling the Crohn's, that you would
Absolutely
have all done
not.
All these things.
No.
So what's the upshot then in terms of what you'd like people to know about transplants and donors and being a donor?
Well, from my volunteer work with Donor Network of Arizona, obviously I'm not a donor family, but they have all of them just sing praises for donating their loved one's organs when someone passes. Especially in Arizona, I know a lot more about Donor Network of Arizona because I've worked with them. They really take care of that family. If a family chooses to donate someone's organs, they really check in with them for 2 years after. So it's almost like a grieving, like an advanced grieving process that they help them mourn. They do things for them. They help them memorialize their loved one. They do special quilts. They do special tributes to the people that donated their organs because they're heroes. I mean, these are people that sacrificed, you know, their organs after they died.
It's one thing to do all that after the donation's been made, but I guess maybe the bigger challenge is getting people to say yes to
Absolutely.
Do it in the first place.
Yep.
So what would you say?
Well, first, when you are faced with that decision, you're not thinking clearly for one. So maybe a very generous person normally... you're dealing with the death of someone that you love. Why on earth would you want to give up part of who they are? Especially because a lot of times with the people that can donate, it's usually a shock. It's usually a car accident or something of that sort. So it's a shock. They weren't expecting this. So they just are even dealing with the fact that their loved one's going to be gone, let alone give their organs up. That's, you know, to them, that's pretty much crazy talk. But for those people that they're faced with that decision, you know, that's, you know, try to take a step outside yourself because it's, you know, life is such a gift and you can mourn after that decision is made, but time is precious when it comes to organ donation. So unfortunately, you got to make that tough decision right away. And, you know, there's people that the donor network people are amazing. They help you through it. They talk with you. They'll sit with them for, you know, up to 72 hours to really help them make the right decision for that family. And for those who are facing that, you know, just God be with them, because that's a, I can't even imagine making that decision. I'm just thankful for my own gift. When I go to these events for organ donation, the people that receive the transplants, we're all so thankful, but I would say 98% of us are always, you know what, the donor families are the heroes. You know, people like to sing praises for the recipients. Yeah, you know, maybe we've been through a lot, but my goodness, those donor families, they're the ones who are the heroes, because they had to face a tough decision. They're living without their loved one. I'm the one that's, you know, living with, sure, I've had a lot of difficulties with it, absolutely, but, you know, overall, of course, you know, there's blessings in suffering, so it's been great.
Fresh new stories for winding up the school year and our Cover Moms winning essay. Find it all at RaisingArizonaKids.com. I'm Vicki Belint. Thanks for listening.
This podcast was produced by Small Change Media for RaisingArizonaKids.com. All rights reserved. This material cannot be reproduced or rebroadcast without permission.
Mm-hmm.